Welcome back to the Savage Podcast. My name is Ant.
This is Panda.
And we're back, and we are doing one of my favorite cryptids. That is the Wendigo.
Wendigo.
So this is a pretty good cryptid that I like. If you don't know what the cryptid is pretty much means like a legendary monster or creature from folklore, depending on from which folklore it is. Could be, I don't know, Mexican folklore, Spanish folklore, European folklore, Irish folklore. This happens to be sort of a Native American folklore. So the actual name for this tribe is actually called
Quendigo or something like that.
Oh, you weren't ready for the oop. I gave you the alley, but you weren't ready for the oop.
Yeah, no, I wasn't ready for it. All right, this is how you actually say it.
Algonquian.
I was way off. This is the proper way to say it.
Algonquian.
Okay, that's how you say it.
So we're gonna butcher that this whole episode.
Algonquian.
There you go.
That's how you say it, bro. On the fly. So the Wendigo is like a. Is a creature that likes to feast on the flesh of humans and or animals. I think mostly humans though. Mm-hmm. And it's a malevolent spirit that either possesses or is actually in itself a physical form that can take control of a human and force them into cannibalism and gluttony. So just kind of give you like a little brief history of where this actually, you know, came from. Like I said, it did start in Native American folklore from Algonquian tribes. Mostly all of these stories come from northern states such as like Canada and Nova Scotia, and actually there was one in Minnesota that was kind of weird. But this creature is like a cold weather, monster, so it stays in cold climates. So us down here in Texas, we don't have anything to worry about except for chupacabras, maybe some chupacabras. Yeah, that goes from Texas folklore.
Chupacabras,
yeah. So it stays in cold. It likes the cold. The times that mostly people will see it is in times of great famine, people starving, and you know. He comes out as a kind of a last resort kind of, you know, feeling, to where people have just like abandoned all hope. They don't have anything else to eat. So, you know, hey, we're just going to eat each other. So pretty much turn them into cannibals. A lot of people will kind of fall on the Wendigo concept because it represents, oh, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. It was the Wendigo that did it. It was the Wendigo in me that did it, you know? So I guess it kind of will excuse them for using it will kind of excuse them from
we'll give just them like a scapegoat
that, yeah like a scapegoat I guess yeah a scapegoat
it wasn't me it was the Wendigo
it wasn't me yeah exactly so yeah if you're starving you're starving I guess you know you gotta eat so that was one of those you know kind of how it came about with people
also back in these times it's like things would happen. You wouldn't have a proper medical diagnosis for it. You wouldn't have a name for it. So basically, you just go with the customs that you're like familiar with. And back in those times, you know, people had names, phrases, or oh, you did this, so you turned into this. It's just based on the times.
Oh yeah. And to give you a physical appearance of what the Wendigo would look like. This is from...
I mean, we can also post that picture that you're talking about, like, on our Instagram and our Facebook feed.
Mm.
So, look for it there when the podcast drops. But I guess Ann's going to try and give you a description of it.
Yeah, it's a description from a gentleman by the name of Basil H. Johnson. He's a scholar from Ontario, and this is what he said in an excerpt. The Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emaciation. It's desiccated skin pulled tightly over its bones, with its bones pushing out against its skin, its complexion of the ash gray of death, and the eyes pushed back deep into their sockets. The Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody, unclean, and suffering from the suppuration of the flesh. The Wendigo gave off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. So a lot of nasty stuff in that one. There's a lot of big words that could have just been like, had some skin tight. The skin was super tight around his body. So it kind of gave itself that the Wendigo itself was starving itself. So obviously it's going to eat. And the Wendigo is said to, whenever it consumes a human flesh or human body, that it just continues to grow. So therefore its stomach grows. So his appetite is never satisfied. It's always insatiable. There was a case back in the, what was it? I think it said the 1800s, by the name of Swift Runner. It was in 1878 to be exact. Swift Runner, his family were starving, and his eldest son died 25 miles away from the emergency food supplies at Hudson Bay Company Post. Swift Runner butchered and ate his wife and 5 remaining children. Basically, going back to the whole thing, like, if you don't, you know, if you're isolated and it's snowing, that, you know, your last resort is pretty much going to be cannibalism for you to live. Obviously, this guy pretty much said that it was either going to be me or my family, and he chose himself. So, given that he resorted to cannibalism so near to food supplies, and that he killed and consumed the remains of all those present, it was revealed that Swift Runners was not a case of pure cannibalism as a last resort. So I guess he wasn't. I guess he just wanted to eat and kill his family. Oh, shit.
Well, so that one about Swift Runner, right? I read up a little bit about it as well. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it wasn't considered, like, actual Wendigo scenario was because, I think you did say it, where there was actual food in the house. He just chose to, like, attack his family or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, based on the Native American... there's just research that we did at that time is we're probably not 100% accurate, because literally anything can go on the internet from any kind of source. So if I'm wrong in anything that I'm saying, please correct us. Like I said, we're just using the internet as a form of research. But the Wendigo, in an essence, is like a spirit or a ghost that can take over the human body. And for this scenario with Swift Runner. He had access to food. He had access to a whole bunch of things. But
Food supplies,
whatever you want to consider that. So he had other means to give nourishment to his body. But I guess in his... He lost his mind, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, there was food, there was stuff like that. But I guess his mind started playing tricks on him, to the point where he's all like, I'm a Wendigo, I'm turning into a Wendigo, I'm gonna, you know, attack and eat my family. Then upon later investigation, the founder's like, well, bro, you got chips in the cupboard. Like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, I think, according to the research, is considered the Wendigo...
Psychosis. It's an actual mental term dubbed for it.
Yeah, so like, when your mind plays tricks on you to say, you're a Wendigo, my guy.
Congratulations! Come on down. Anyways,
so like I said, man, it's a crazy world, man. The mind's a powerful thing.
It can turn you into a Wendigo. That's pretty cool. So, with this going on back in the day, there was a lot of people. Obviously, there was a lot of people looking to make some money, and with the threat of Wendigos coming about and Wendigos threatening to kill people, a lot of people were turning to like, who can stop them. In one case, people were turning to a guy by the name of Jack Fiddler, and a OG Cree chief and medicine man known for his powers of defeating Wendigos defeating Wendigos and getting rid of them for good. So these two guys, they went around killing people suspected of being Wendigos. And
the Salmon Dean of Wendigo.
Yeah. Yeah. The Salmon Dean of Wendigo. They went around. Yeah, exactly. Supernatural. Shout out. Even though they should have stopped at season number 3. Nah, but that's all good. They should have stopped at season 3, not season 15, wherever they're at right now.
Keep it running.
yeah, so they pretty much got paid to go and kill people pretty much back in the day that they thought that were Wendigos now. They could have been Wendigos. I don't know. It was, you know, I guess it was...
People didn't know better at that
point. People didn't know better at that time, you know. So eventually they got... In 1907, Filler and his brother Joseph were arrested by the Canadian authorities for homicide. Jack committed suicide, but for Joseph was tried and sentenced to life in prison. He was ultimately granted a pardon, but died 3 days later in jail before he was aware that he got a pardon. So, tough luck.
Tough luck, brother.
Tough luck, man. So, with the whole Wendigo thing, like I said, it's a spirit that will consume, you know, or possess a human person, turn it into this monstrous form, and it will hunt people just for the human flesh to eat the person. The height on this one was said to get about 15 feet tall, I believe, like standard. They say about 15 feet tall. Compared to other cryptids out there, the Wendigo is not a real, you know. It wasn't a stocky kind of monster, like I would say, like, you know, Bigfoot or Sasquatch. Although it is considered that the Wendigo is actually an ancestor to, or relative to Bigfoot, actually. But it does say that what it lacks in strength, it makes up for in speed. So I don't know if you really get. I don't think there's any running from a Wendigo. I think once the Wendigo got you, that's your.
That's it. That's your ass, bro.
Yeah, that's your ass.
Your man. Cheek is clapped.
Your ass. Stay strapped. Shoot your musket at it, man.
God, man. Those must have been some fucking scary times, bro.
I know, man.
You have a musket. Compared to the magnificent stuff that we have for protection nowadays. I'm reloading. All right, anyway. Back to schedule programming.
Eventually, when the times got, going back to the whole thing about the Wendigo psychosis. Eventually, a lot of doctors stopped using the word, you know, Wendigo psychosis on this because I guess they got with the times and decided, like, well, you know what, we can't really call it this no more because it's not really a good concept to call people Wendigos. You know, I guess that kind of led with like fear mongering and all that stuff like that. People not trusting other people, which still happens today, but. Eventually led to, you know, cannibalism and, you know, other terms for eating human flesh. So
I think that's the only term, isn't it? Cannibalism?
I don't know. Check it out. Because actually, if you're a person who likes to bite their nails and bites their nails to the nub,
that has technically a form of it.
That is actually a form of being a Wendigo. So congratulations, whoever you're out there, whoever's biting your nails right now, you're a Wendigo. Go get yourself a tattoo, a Wendigo on you.
Don't get a tattoo.
Don't get a tattoo, Wendigo.
Unless you want to. I mean, man eater, people eater. I'm gonna butcher this fucking word.
You're a man eater.
Anthropophagus.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to say that.
Those are actually medical terms used for describing cannibalism?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so... The Wendigo, I mean... How do I say it? Information back in the day, like I said, was real lackluster, obviously. I mean, people were still... Mailing letters. I mean, I think they were using pigeons.
You gotta say mailing letters.
Mailing letters. Yeah, the post office was back in the day. It wasn't. So information was very, very slow to get around to people. So because maybe you got eaten by wolves or something like that, or you were out there on the frontier somewhere, everyone suspected that you were eaten by a Wendigo. And, you know, and then 3 months later, you know, your family gets that letter finally. It's like, hey, you know, we're starving here. You think you can send some food over, you know, maybe? But, you know, with the winter. And like I said, too, a lot of these things took place in the north. You know, when there was, you know, it was snowed in. People were snowed in and isolated. And what better way to come up with some entertainment than to say, like, hey, there's a Wendigo out there. So people had to have fun somehow. Actually, that one's...
You good?
Keep going.
You good?
Keep going.
Sorry, guys. The Wendigo has picked up my co-host. He has been clapped for not staying strapped. So Anthony does most of the bulk research of shit. I do the funny, goofy shit. So while he gathers his marbles, a couple places where you can find Wendigos, at least on the game side. I don't know if anybody has played Until Dawn, but there's a part in Until Dawn where you do face a Wendigo. It's not how I would picture a Wendigo, but is their, own reenactment on it and stuff like that. Their graphics group and designers that did that. Another game that has Wendigos in it, it's Seeking Evil, the Wendigo. And like I said, a quick little search on your phone, if you're listening to this in your office or in your car, not in your car, if you listen to it in your office or at the gym or at a station place and not a moving vehicle, you can look up the Wendigo. There's a lot of different depictions of it. But the way I picture a Wendigo is probably the way Anthony described it, a weathered body, kind of bony, wounds exposed, a little lanky, maybe pupils dilated, sharp teeth, quick, fast, and somewhat strong. I mean,
so back to what I was saying about his appetite being insatiable. Obviously, every time he consumes, nourishment for his body does grow. Therefore, his stomach never gets full. His entire body gets bigger and bigger. So that's the case for making him, 15 feet tall. So if you see a Wendigo at 20 feet tall, he's already pretty much, killed a couple people. Another pretty little factoid about the Wendigo is that it's immune to the cold climate. So if it's super cold outside, it can still hunt at 100%. It's immune to the climate of the coldness, so it makes him a pretty good hunter. And he's actually a master hunter, I guess you would say. So one of the interesting things about this cryptoid is that it can actually mimic human voices. So say that you're outside, with your party looking for another person, it can actually prey, one on one with each person by saying yelling out voices come help me, I'm over here. And then when he leads them into the death trap, it's game over, bro.
You did.
Yeah, you did.
I tell you, he did.
So a lot of that one does. The mimic ability is pretty predatory-ish. So that I was actually thinking when I was watching Predator the other day. Not the other, probably 2 weeks ago. And I don't know if you noticed. What, is it the Predator? Who is it? The Predator does make voices, but it doesn't make a voice all the time. But the other one is Terminator does for sure.
Yeah, Terminator does.
It does make voices, right?
Well, not the one that Arnold portrays, but the future ones, the antagonists.
Mm-hmm.
Those, because usually they kill and then they can take the form of...
The T-1000s and...
Yeah, they can take the form of the people, and with that, the voice. Not the knowledge and stuff like that, but just vocal... mimicking and body mimicking, stuff like that.
Yeah, which pretty much will lure the prey into the kill zone, and which will eventually kill them. So that's one little interesting thing about the Wendigo. Another one is that back in the day, when people thought that you were being turned into a Wendigo, it would start with a fever, and if you got a fever, to certain people would think automatically, oh, you're a Wendigo. And there goes the quick judgment about back in the day that if you automatically got a fever, oh, you're a Wendigo. Let's go ahead and take you out, because you're going to kill us all if you don't. So if you got a fever back in the day, it was already over for you. And the Wendigo itself is actually a learning machine, if you want to call it that, because if the Wendigo is not killed and it's just getting older and older and older, it actually takes skills from other animals in the forest or in the, wherever it's at in the climate, in the cold climate. So if it learns to do what the wolves, I'm guessing that's what it means by the, you know, how wolves will hunt in packs, whatever. He'll look at that as, okay, the humans are trying to hunt me in packs, so I'm going to try to either separate them or divide them up because it's easier for me to kill one-on-one, whereas I can, you know, kill them all with the group, which leads me to, you know, to be hurt more vulnerable, I guess. More vulnerable. So the older the Wendigo is, the more wiser it is, the more deadly it is to hunt and kill. And so here's the thing here, man. It actually has a healing factor. So it's like a Wolverine. So if you hurt it, it can actually heal back. So in Supernatural, they actually encountered a Wendigo, right?
I want to say they did.
They did, right? And the only way they killed it wasn't with gunfire. It wasn't with...
They killed it with... I can't even remember
how they killed it. I think they set it on fire. They said it has to be set on fire in order for it to be killed. And that's one of the things about the Wendigo is that even if you have guns, a musket or Glock 19, you can't even kill it with, you know, with the gun. You have to use it, you have to kill it with fire, which is a good statement.
So go ahead and play your mixtape.
Yeah, if you got a... If you got a fire mixtape, go ahead and do that.
Play it, bro. Do us a favor.
Go ahead and do it, man.
You got some sick fire beats. Save the day, matey. Yeah, see, that's a good thing. Did you find anything on how to kill a Wendigo?
That's the one thing I was looking at, and I remembered from the time that it was on Supernatural 2, because there's different ways to kill different mythological beasts or legendary creatures or cryptids.
See, now I'm already being tracked by Google, and here I am Googling how to kill a Wendigo.
How to kill a Wendigo. So if you encounter a Wendigo, it's
nearly impossible.
It's nearly impossible, right? Because it has a healing factor. That's what I'm saying. Like the healing factor. Like, and the older the Wendigo is, it's gonna stay away from actual contact unless it wants to. See, if you get close to the Wendigo, it's because it wants you to get close to him. So it's hard. It's nearly impossible to kill a Wendigo. So if you come across a Wendigo, you better have some matches or something, because it's either, it can, and that's another thing too that it does. It's actually a psychological beast hunter. So it may not kill you automatically. It may torture with your mind. It may use memory voices from people that you know or just other voices, and it'll just stay away from you and follow you around in the forest until, like, you just, like, pretty much giving up. Like, I'm going crazy from hearing all these voices in my head and all this shit like that. So it'll just exhaust your mental state to where you pretty much just give up, and then you fall down, and then here he comes for the final kill. Boom. Done. So he's an expert hunter, strategist, and damn near impossible to kill. And that's a Wendigo.
Yeah, it says the only way to get him or vanquish him is with fire, but at that point, is it like, this guy is very astute, fast, strong. How the heck do you catch him on fire?
I was thinking shooting him with a flaming arrow or something.
Yeah, but that's like automatically assuming that you're gonna hit. That's automatically assuming you got that thing on you. I mean, incendiary rounds? That's a thing, right?
Yeah, incendiary rounds, yeah. You can use that one. Good luck getting those, though. We should have incendiary rounds. Well, I think you can have incendiary rounds. I think you have to... I have to look that up. You might need a special license to get those, but... Everyone should have some incendiary rounds.
Why are you trying to get incendiary, however you say it?
If I fill out the form and it gives me reason, like, why do you want incendiary rounds? And I'm
I am a Wendigo hunter.
I'm a Wendigo hunter and I need incendiary rounds. That's a good way to get some incendiary rounds. Or to
take an express trip to the Looney House.
Oh shit. Anyways. But yeah, that's a Wendigo in a nutshell, pretty much.
And then back to my side of the research. Dude, I've gone down so many rabbit holes in my time. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know if you ever heard of the show, Fear Itself.
No.
So Fear Itself was like a series of scary stories, folklore, apparitions, stuff like that. Supernatural series, basically, where they chose a topic and made like a little short film from it or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these episodes are really scary, so if you have the chance to look it up, or if it's on any streaming service, which I don't really think it is, at least not anymore. There's one episode where they tackled the Wendigo. I think it's Fear Itself, season 1, episode 8. And the episode was called Skin and Bones. So it was basically around that same, I guess the same story of, like, would you call them Windrider?
Windriders.
No. Like, the first scenario where he ate his family.
Yeah.
The guy.
Yeah.
Was it Windrider?
The name of the guy?
The name of the guy.
Swift Runner.
God.
Windrider. He's not like the guy from Avatar. What's his name with the arrow on his forehead? Airbender.
Swift Rider. So basically, I want to say they depicted that scenario. So they're trapped in a house. There's a sick person, and then he slowly starts picking him away. And I can't remember if they ended up killing the Wendigo or not. But if you get the chance to watch that episode, it's I wouldn't say it's the best depiction of it, but it's a good take on it. And while you're there, you know, look at all the other episodes they have. It's a pretty good series.
It's a pretty good series.
I don't know if it's still going, but it's a pretty good series.
Yeah. So, going back to the whole thing about killing the Wendigo, like I said, the Wendigo itself is just actually an actual spirit. It doesn't take an actual physical form unless it actually possesses a human person. Whereas, whenever it possesses the human person, the skin will pretty much grow on the outside of the human. Therefore, the human body is actually intact, actually inside the actual Wendigo. So in order to kill the Wendigo, you have to kill the human inside. And from here, the body is actually frozen. I guess that's a pretty good idea that you would set the window on fire, because the body is frozen inside the Wendigo itself. Obviously, I guess because of the cold climate, and humans can't stay in that much of a cold climate. So I think the best form is actually to go ahead and just set it on fire.
Light it up.
So, but yeah, that's pretty much all I got over here on this end. What say you?
I think you can find it on Amazon. So if you have like Amazon streaming, you should be able to find it.
You still trying to find an episode?
No. I mean, I was just looking up like where Fear Itself is, because we are living in a streaming kind of world now. So.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to see if there's a way if anybody was curious to watch the episode or look into this, because it came out in 2008 and it literally only ran one season. Mm-hmm. And it was a good depiction of like horror stuff. Good depiction.
Mm-hmm.
It says it's available on Amazon, so if you have Amazon Video and stuff like that and you want to take a dabble at it, go ahead. But leave the lights on.
Check this out. Another relative from the Wendigo is actually something related to Texas. The Goatman.
Goatman?
The Goatman. The Goatman is another cryptid that actually is a cousin or relative of the Wendigo. And the Goatman is actually originated here in Texas. And the Goatman is kind of... I think the Goatman's a little bit more scary than a fucking Wendigo, to be honest with you, because the Goatman is actually can take physical form of a human person, like an actual another human being. Like it can pretty much Terminator, like T-100, it can actually, you know, turn into another person or whatever from its actual form. However, the Goatman doesn't mimic every single human movement perfectly. So you'll see some deformities, either the legs will be a little different or something like that. So the Goatman's another topic that we need to talk about. But just to give you a little factoid about that Goatman, because the Goatman does and can mimic the same voices, it take the form of your most loved person that you love in the world, and then it can betray you and kill you. The better to eat you. So the Goatman. I was just looking that up because I was like, well, what? There has to be some you know, other forms of Texas cryptids out there. So basically, we have in Texas itself, we have the Ozark Howler.
That's how Ozarka, like at the plant, the Ozarka plant.
Nah, bro. It looks like a. It says that it's a devil cat.
Oh, that sounds dope,
bro. A devil cat. A lot of people have those in their house right now. Some people have them devil cats. I hate cats. Dogs same. All the way.
Bully gang or die. Bouncy puppy.
Obviously, the goat man. We also have the men in black. Sasquatch.
What'd you call him?
Skunk ape. Ugh. Yeah. Crocotta. Crocotta is weird. Crocotta is pretty much like a dog that looks like a leopard. That's pretty cool. It's actually originated from India, but a lot of people have seen it in Texas. And lechuza. A lechuza. Yeah. Shape-shifting witches. A human-sized bird with a woman's face. Wow. Yeah, I'm interested in what you can learn on the internet in a couple minutes.
Telling you.
You got any closing statements about the Wendigo?
If
you see one, run as fast as you can.
If you're unfortunate to run into one,
yeah, if you're unfortunate,
make your peace with God.
Or Allah, whatever entity, deity that you believe in.
Yeah, because you clap, my son.
Yeah, you clap. Stay strapped.
I mean, all in good fun. I mean, the way I see it is like somebody had to eventually run into one and named it and stated all these things for it. Like, what person in their right mind could just make up something like this on the fly? So somebody at some point encountered something like this and maybe stretched the truth a little bit, but it might be real, man. I mean, who knows?
Just jump on that one. Just said, going back to our, I believe it was Wives Tale episode, where we said that things get passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's kind of like a recipe, like a family recipe. You know, once it gets passed down to you, eventually that it's already gone through so many transitions that it's not even the original recipe anymore. So a lot of things can be said about folklore. But this one actually, you know, the thing about this one is that I was already transitioned back in like 18, you know, or I lost the thing. I closed it already. 1873, I believe.
Something like that.
So it was already a thing back then, and it just kind of grew and grew and grew more to 2019. So it's definitely interesting. Don't believe everything you hear, but just be watchful. Be cautious.
If you go camping up north, or excuse me, anything like that, stay strapped or get clapped.
This is Your Average Podcast. Deuce.